This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
It is time for the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Love Sport's very own Laurie Kellis, Charlotte Robson from the True Faith. It is Robson, isn't it?
That's
I worried.
Me. Oh, yeah.
Just, don't worry, Charlotte.
Good, strong Northern name.
Great name, great name. Charlotte Robson is in the studio, and our very own Sean Wade, who has some delightful news to share with us. Sean, you wasn't here last week. Congratulations. You are back on the Newcastle United Supporters Trust. We are going to get into all of that. We're talking about the brilliant victory that is Newcastle beating Bournemouth 2-1. Back-to-back wins for Newcastle. The points are starting to come for the Magpies. And delighted to say Alex Hurst will be joining us a little later. And it is international break, so we thought we'd spice it up. Sean cannot wait for this. Charlotte has been researching all week. She said, this is why I'm here.
This.
We are doing a Newcastle quiz that is coming up later on the show. You're going to want to stick around for that one. Firstly, though, it is the Bournemouth game on the weekend. We're going to be talking about that. It was 2-1. It was a brilliant 3 points. The defenders can't stop scoring, Laurie. Who needs strikers when you've got defenders like that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think Kieran Clark's got an early shout for the Golden Boot. I don't know. People are concerned. I'm less concerned now after the weekend because how close Alan Saint-Maximin and Miggy were getting. I just can't see them not scoring soon. Like, the way he hit the bar, the power that he had on that shot, he was trying so hard to score. And I know people say, oh, it needs to go in off his backside or whatever. I think they will score. To be fair, I'm more confident about Saint-Maximin scoring than Miggy. I think it's one of them. We always say if Miggy had chipped the keeper and that hadn't hit the post in his first match, he probably would have scored 50 goals by now. But I'm not necessarily concerned. Obviously, the longer the season goes on, Joe Linton as well could have chipped the keeper near the end and he didn't. Yes, it would be a concern, but at the minute, I think we're winning games and that's what you need to be doing. And I'm less concerned than I've heard some people be.
Yeah, Charlotte, let's bring you in then. I know a lot's being made of the attackers aren't scoring, the defence is scoring, but it's really what and truly what the only thing that matters is the points, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot's being made of the attackers not scoring, but if you look at the Bournemouth performance, our front three were excellent, like in creating chances.
They did everything but, didn't they?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the pace that we've had injected from Almiron and ASM is amazing. It's definitely like worrying other teams, but ASM had like two or three players on him at like any time he got the ball. So, you know, they might not be scoring, but I think that will come. It doesn't worry me because we've got so many defenders capable of doing that for us at the moment.
Yeah, so many defenders. They're scoring, they're chipping in, they're playing their part. Almiron could have had scored, but I think ASM blocked his shot or vice versa. They're getting in the way. No one wants to break that duck first. The ASM hit the bar there. They're desperate for this goal. It was a terrific performance on the weekend. Sean, I know you wasn't maybe as confident after the West Ham game as maybe some of your colleagues on the Newcastle fan show. You thought maybe just West Ham were that bad, but the points for Newcastle, have you changed your tune at all? Because another 3 points for Newcastle, are you feeling like, all right, maybe we're not, you know, lifting up any trees or incredible performances, but ultimately, Sean, getting the job done.
Yeah, and thankfully so. I mean, if you want a nitpick, which a few have, we did have a game which was similar to when we played West Ham. There was like sort of a good 4 or 5 chances that they could have had. So, you know, you were kind of, were looking and going, well, if they had a finished that, if Almiron had a scored, you know, etc., then there could have been 4 or 5 up. But they weren't. Lady Luck wasn't on their side. And at the same time, it wasn't on Bournemouth, because if what look hypothetically, coming up in the dying minutes of the second half, Bournemouth could have equalised at 2-2. So in that sense, Lady Luck was on my side as well, you know. So they didn't. There's a little bit of concern that they're still not finishing in the final third, which rightfully so. But it will happen. We can feel it. It's that anticipation, you know. And I think it's a case of his Almiron just trying too much, you know. Is it a young lad? Is there that much pressure on his shoulders to actually put the ball in the back of the net? And it's sometimes, you know, if you can try too hard to do something.
Yeah, I think completely. It's different to that Emmanuel Riviere feel where every time they come on the pitch, you just can't see them scoring. It's not like that with Almiron or ASM for me.
It's building, isn't it?
You watch them and you're like, they are going to score.
They're both really hungry for it, I think. I think ASM, even more so than Miggy, in my opinion, he's just desperate like that. Well, that changed the game, I think, I'm sorry, I'm a bit husky from this cold. I'm really sorry.
We don't want to hear about your other weekend activities.
it changed the game, didn't it, on ASM? I mean, it was a bit ridiculous when it hit the bar, but it's that sort of, like, let's just go for it mm-hmm. kind of attitude. And it's definitely, yeah, it's gonna come.
It was more so when Miggy's ball hit off St. Maximin as well, and I was just like, oh man, when's it going to happen? Like, it was like, I was outside the ground because we were doing a collection for the food bank, so we were helping out, a couple of board members from NUST were helping out, so and stood outside of St. James's, like I actually got offered a ticket and my mum was there helping, so she ended up taking the ticket, so she went into our first ever football match and I was just like, I kind of take it at the minute because I'm obviously on a self boycott sort of thing, but she went in and so it was her, after many, many years really of buying us, like maybe brother, kits and tracksuits and footballs, do you know what I mean, for eternity basically. She spent thousands on like sort of replica kits and everything, yeah, but never actually been to a match. So her first thing was going in, remembrance sort of Sundays, well the remembrance sort of thing on which was on the Saturday, but to have sort of like the soldiers there and stuff, you know, in the minute silence, this was her first experience. And then she was like, she come out and she's like, Charlotte, she's fell in love with Maximin, like, so she was just, hey, it's gorgeous, and I was like, leave it off, ma, you know, but yeah, so she was there and thoroughly enjoyed the game.
Well,
so,
to be clear, I'm a fan of his, you know, athletic prowess. Just so we're there, I'm
no
not
problem.
Lusting after it.
But my mum is, she was definitely sort of fell in love with him. So, yeah.
Well, she fell in love. She maybe is the omen because Newcastle obviously getting that result. Laurie, a lot's going to be made. I think it's, you know, the last 9 goals that Newcastle have scored all coming from the defenders, not the strikers. And I'm saying how important the points are. But it was a few weeks ago when Newcastle, let's say in different form, a sticky patch, they hadn't had this run of form, 10 points from 15, and people were going, we're going to Norwich, we're seeing these results, how bad is this team, what, you know, when is a good run of results going to come from? I'm not saying we're here now, but is it nice to just think, heading into this next international break, maybe we're not as poor as we first thought as the teams are around us?
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point. And obviously the last international break was that after we beat United. Mm-hmm. So we've now had, you know, it's a really good to go into an international break with a positive attitude. And obviously, you know, we haven't really lost recently. And we haven't lost heavily at all since that Leicester game. And I think it's interesting actually to compare that to the Rafa era, particularly last season, because there were a couple of times when we'd have 3 wins back to back and then we'd drop off for a bit. Obviously last season we never won for about 10 games or so, and then you put like 3 wins together and then you can allow yourself to get into these games that we've got coming up with, like Man City, and not have to worry about it as much. And obviously it's Newcastle, so the teams that we've ended up beating has been like Man United and Spurs or whatever. But having said that, what I mean is we couldn't beat Watford, we couldn't beat Brighton. Do you know what I mean? We were mm-hmm. torrid in those games. And then the games that we actually ended up winning are ones that we shouldn't have expected to. So I didn't expect personally, under Steve Bruce, us to be putting little blocks of form together like we did under Rafa, because I didn't think there was the consistency mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think that he was able to drill us well enough week by week and adapt based on who we're playing. I'm still not 100% convinced of that, by the way, that, you know, he's completely responsible. However, it is really encouraging that we're getting little blocks of form and going into both of the last 2 international breaks on such a positive note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to run before we can walk, but they are nice blocks of form, as Laurie puts it there. But Charlotte, I don't want to get carried away as well in the same sense, but it has been a nice upturn in form. Let's get carried away then, because I'm saying we're maybe realising we're not as poor as the teams around us. How far can this team go? Because aside from the defenders scoring, we know they're a very good defensive unit. The keeper's very solid. He's up there. 20 chances on the weekend for the strikers. If they start scoring as well, this team, you know, on paper, it has got the potential to, not, I don't want to say be up there, but, you know, carry on this form, hasn't it?
Yeah, I agree with you. I now am like, maybe we'll finish in the top half of the table, which I, you know, we're 11th. I don't think that's outside the realms of possibility
yeah.
if this form continues. Obviously, we've got teams like Man City yet to play. That's I think from that, realistically, we can hope that our defensive back line just holds strong and the goal difference isn't very big there. Because let's be real, I mean, we managed to beat Man City last year, but I think we can all agree that was pretty like a miracle. So so yeah, I don't think, I think if we continue and we continue to beat teams around us in the way that we are, and like you say, if we can pick up a few goals from our actual attacking forwards, I think we'd be comfortably middle table, if not in the top half. And I know that probably sounds a bit deluded, but I mean, look at West Ham. Yeah, we're a rubbish team, but Bournemouth aren't, and we came from behind to beat them. That's also something worth noting. That's a harder thing to do. So,
I mean, and you say West Ham, not terrible. They're in terrible form at the minute.
Right.
They want to get rid of their manager last night. They're a team that they think they should be higher than they are. So on paper, you know, you still have to go and beat them, whether they're in poor form or not. You know, Bournemouth, they were crying about the chances and the mistakes they made, but you know, that's on your side. You still got to put away your chances. They didn't. Newcastle are the ones that take the points. Can they then, Sean? It's interesting because they're rotating the team a lot at the minute. You know, the Longstaffs were starting, they ring now. Shelvey's had a little bit of a run of form. Maybe this has caused the upturn in form as well. Are you seeing now a side that maybe Steve Bruce will stick to?
I don't think we are, because I think he's got too much sort of going with it, with sort of, I mean, like bringing Matty Longstaff in as just a young lad at 19. So him and Shelby kind of in kind of competition for them same sort of positions isn't a bad thing. And I think if sort of injury free and everything and stuff like that throughout the season, if that can develop, because I do think you need someone with, like Shelby has got a lot of maturity in the game. So if he's that person that's going to have an arm around Matty Longstaff, you know, and sort of bring him in, because he's come in, you know, he played really good against Man U, and it's like, you know, so it's good to have that older sort of head on shoulders to help with guidance, you know, coming into the league. But I think so far, I've never known a start of the season that's been such a roller coaster. I mean, we've had highs, proper lows, everything going
on off the field.
Yeah, and everywhere. And it was like kind of with what's gone on at the start of the season, I was thinking, that's it, we are going to be relegated. And I've now changed my sort of perspective. Is I don't know, I would love that we got sort of mid-table or whatever, but I do now think that we're kind of on form for staying up and not getting relegated if they carry on, and wherever they stay above sort of, I don't know, 16th is a bonus for me.
I don't think we'll even get sucked in, to be honest. I can see us being sort of clear for the rest of the season, not like pulling up trees as you said, but
I'm not
going to
count your chickens that way, like Laurie, you've been brave with that one. But
well, I was just going to say, going back to your question, I think Steve Bruce, when he gets it right, and he has for these West Ham and Bournemouth obviously games, I don't think he will have any real impetus to change our side right now. I think he'll continue with it until it doesn't work, and we've got a lot of competition on the bench for our midfield. So
and centre backs,
and Rhonda Jones coming back. Like, I don't think he'll walk back into that team now. I think he'll have to fight for his place, which I think is a great thing. Like, we haven't had that in a very long time, so. But yeah, I can't see him changing up our formation or anything like that right now.
Yeah, I think it's also been encouraging for me that he hasn't seen the lack of goals and like changed them out. I think I'm really glad that he's continued to play ASM, Miggy and Joe Linton for like at least the last couple of games, because there are so many positives of what they bring to the team. I'm glad he hasn't kind of knee-jerk reaction seen, oh, there's no goals from our forward, so he's
It's getting there, isn't it? It's just waiting for that moment where something's going to click with them, and then when that happens, I think there's going to be goals galore. And it would probably be our luck where they've been completely dry of goals, and then sort of one of them will score, and we'll end up having a game where I think all three will end up scoring together or something. You know, it'll just be an onslaught. It's getting there, and I think it just takes...
Told me off being optimistic.
No.
We'll win 9-0 and they'll all score a hat-trick.
He does that, Sean. You've got to be careful. Well, we were talking about the game with Bournemouth on the weekend. 2-1, back-to-back wins for Newcastle. There. Next, I'm delighted to say Alex Hurst will be joining us.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Sean Wade, Laurie Callis and Charlotte Robson. We are talking everything where Newcastle are concerned. I'll be honest, we have great squad depth on this show. And now that I look at this squad depth, I'm not sure how much longer Sean Wade will be with us on a Wednesday from 7 to 8, because I've got a feeling Ketch and Aaron might just be taking his place. A little bit more on that later. But we have a strong team here in the studio. We were looking at the game with Bournemouth, and we're going to be talking a little bit of a special quiz later on. But delighted to say, Alex Hurst joins us now. Great to have Alex on the phone, the chair of the Newcastle United Supporters Trust and the very own True Faith podcast. Charlotte, thank you so much for getting him on the show tonight. Alex, it's a real pleasure to have you with us. Before we get into the important stuff, back-to-back wins for Newcastle. You must be pleased with that.
Over the moon. It's been a transformative couple of weeks in the world of Newcastle United. We've gone from doom and gloom and drinking pints of bleach to champagne and moving up to 11th place. Life can't get much better.
Excellent. Hi, Alex and Sean. I would just like to ask you, with NUST, why is it important for fans to join up to NUST, and what are the benefits of being a member of NUST?
Thanks, Sean. I think that not just the Newcastle United Supporters Trust, I'm sure you have lots of listeners from other Premier League shows listening, because Newcastle is, you know, probably still everyone's second favourite team. I think joining something like a trust of a club is essential to safeguard the future of Premier League football clubs, not just Premier League, but all football clubs. We see all too often financial mismanagement at football clubs, and whilst many fans think it'll never be us, Leeds United fans in their heyday in the early 2000s didn't dream that when they were playing Champions League semi-finals that they would be in financial meltdown within 5 years. Mm. You know, fans of Bolton Wanderers 10 years ago probably didn't think that they'd nearly go out of business twice in 3 years. And in nearly every single occasion, it's either fans who have to step in to save the day, like Exeter, Bournemouth, Portsmouth, a lot of mouths, and other clubs. It's always fans that have to set up and save the day, and what we want to be, Newcastle United Sports Trust, is ready. And now, I'm not saying that Newcastle United will need fan intervention to stay alive, but what I do know is the situation at Newcastle United has been exacerbated by an owner and an ownership model that, you know, hasn't or doesn't taken into consideration the views of fans. Fans should be involved in the running of their football club. You know, you can almost count on one hand the number of really well-run football clubs over the mm-hmm. years. You look at a lot of football clubs have a complete misunderstanding of what fans need and want, and that's why many people have been priced out of the game at a time when there are literally billions of pounds floating around in Premier League football clubs. So I think anyone listening should join their supporters trust, because we'll have to have an outlet as supporters to try and influence things at the highest level. Won't happen overnight. But a lot of the big wins that you've seen out there, whether it be the reduction of away tickets for fans is capped mm-hmm. at £30 in the Premier League. By the way, that's not capped outside of the Premier League. And you've got clubs like Sheffield Wednesday charging people £43, £44 to go and watch a game of Championship football mm-hmm. in the away end, and £25 in the home end. Now, if fans got together as an organised body and protested that, I'm pretty sure a change would come. It's a lot more difficult, and I'm making it sound, of course. Mm-hmm. But essentially, to answer your question, we'll have to unite, we'll have to organise, we'll have to be one body. The Premier League is getting better. It understands that fan communication between football clubs and fans must improve. It enshrines supporters' trusts with responsibility, football clubs with responsibility to communicate with fans primarily through the supporters' trust. And if you don't join, if you don't get involved, you can't have a say in how that works. You can't have a say in why that should continue, or if it hasn't been working. Sean, in the case of Newcastle United, you don't have a say. You know, who is there to complain? Who is there to raise it with the Premier League? Who is there to try and get behind or round a table with your football club and say, listen, please talk to us as you're supposed to, and let's try and build a better football club? So there are just a few of the reasons. I could go on all night, but I appreciate your show is not that long. So that's the reasons why I think fans should join.
So for those fans listening that aren't involved with the Trust or members of the Trust or anything, how much is membership?
Membership is only £1, Sean.
£1?
The board last year thought that the price was far too expensive, prohibitive even at £10 a year. It's £1 and it's £10 for life. Why is it only a pound? Because although we want and need your money, your money pales in the significance compared to your attention, your voice and your vote. So we made it a pound to make it inclusive for all. And we, you know, desperately want fans to join. We have nearly 10,000 members now, and that's an increase of 10,000 since earlier this year. So it's something that I think Newcastle fans should really think long and hard about joining. And if they don't like what we do as a board or the direction the board has taken, you know, there are elections almost annually, which is held what we think is the biggest ever supporter election in the UK, certainly outside, in the English Premier League anyway. And they're probably a little bit bigger, maybe Portsmouth down in League One have had bigger elections, but we can't be sure of that. So we've just had a fully open democratic election, and you know, it doesn't get much better than that, I think, where you as a supporter have an influence, and us at the Supporters Trust will be getting around the table with Lee Charmley hopefully this year, as we draw towards the end of the year, but I'd like to think this year. And you know, if you're a Newcastle United fan and you want to influence the direction of those discussions and the questions that are put to the club to get some genuine answers, you have to be a member.
Excellent.
What about if we know you, Alex, and you're the chair? Can you get us in? You can swing it for us?
Pay a pound.
If you send me either £1 or 250 pence installments, I'll get your membership.
Right, well, it doesn't pay to know the man at the top. No, Alex, I want to quickly turn attention to, obviously, matters on the field now. Newcastle win the Premier League, 10 points from the last 15. We said about the back-to-back wins. We know of the scoring defence and keeping goals out at the minute. What are you making of the side? Me and Charlotte, we said we can get carried away a little bit. We think maybe there is a top-half finish there. How far can Newcastle go this year?
I think a lot of it will depend on two things: injuries and January. So if Alexander, St. Maximin was to get injured, you'd think that, you know, we would go potentially look at going back to the way the team was playing before him. We're so reliant on pace that if any of that pace was to disappear, there's only really Christian Atsu to replace either of those two players in the squad. And you know, God bless him. He's a trier, but he's not of the same caliber as those two players, particularly ASM. So if we can keep him fit for the remaining league games this season, I totally agree with you and Charlotte. Let's dream a little bit. It's quite sad that we're dreams, you know, consist of finishing above Bournemouth and Palace, but that's where we are.
That's, you know, just our dreams for this season, though. Next season,
yeah. No, yeah, definitely next season. But yeah, and then January's a big one because, you know, we've got six centre-backs. Are they going to look to sell one? You know, the fact, quite right now, as I'm talking to you guys, we'll have three centre-backs injured. So it's really crucial that we'll have the six centre-backs. But if we sell one of those guys without replacing them, if we don't bring in a more dynamic midfielder, and if we don't bring in any substitute for the pace that's so integral to this side, I think we might struggle second half of the season. But as you guys know and your listeners know, trying to second-guess what Newcastle United do in January is a fool's errand.
Alex, I thought it was interesting what you just said about the pace and whether we lost it, because I think that's interesting in terms of looking at our tactics and how we play. I can't remember who it was, but someone had tweeted about with a long list of different ways that you can play. So they had like tiki-taka, sari ball, inverted fullbacks, all these kind of tactical words that you hear, and then all unticked, and then the bottom tick was give it to ASM and hope for the best. And I was just wondering whether you think that has the pace that we've seen and the formation that we've had for the last couple of weeks almost disguised a little bit of ineptitude from Steve Bruce tactically, or do you think that actually he's kind of done better than expected and he's responsible for how he set the team up?
I think you have to give him credit that based on the weekend's game. The two things from the weekend's game: number one, Bournemouth were excellent, which is an odd thing to say. And I think Eddie Howe and some of the Bournemouth players this week feel really aggrieved the loss that game. You know, their movement, their pace, their pressing, their ability to keep the ball was really excellent to watch, apart from the fact that we were playing them. So we've beaten a really good side there. That doesn't happen by accident. You know, I think you could look at West Ham and say, as well as the lads played, West Ham was so bad, I think most Premier League teams would have beaten them that day, particularly if they had a fast player in their side. You know, Bruce, what's he done? He has brought back John Joe Shelvey. That was a big call. There were absolutely zero Newcastle fans, pretty much, demanding the reintroduction of John Joe Shelvey after his performance against Brighton this season. That was a good call. He's got the defensive calls right. He brought in Fernandes ahead of Dummett for the World's game, and Fernandes has got two assists, a goal, and three unbelievable performances. And he brought in Kieran Clark against Man United when a lot of people were calling for the reintroduction of other players. So he's getting the big calls right in selection.
So basically he's a genius, Alex. Is that what you're saying?
He's not far off. He seems like a nice
tactical masterstroke. It seems what you're saying, mate. It's just, you know, not that many words.
Yeah. Put the words out my mouth.
Alex, it was a real pleasure to get you on. I'm only pulling your leg about Steve Bruce, but obviously a terrific run of form of late. It's a real pleasure to have you on, though. Alex Turse there, chair of the Newcastle United Supporters Trust, and obviously with Charlotte Robson on the True Faith podcast. A real delight to have him on. Hopefully we can get Alex on later on in the season to talk about the continuing good form when Newcastle do get into that top half of the table. Europe. Okay, we're slightly, now we are getting ahead of ourselves, Charlotte. But next, we are going to be talking about a little bit Strawberry Place and how Sean Wade somehow managed to get himself back on the Newcastle United Supporters Trust.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Sean Wade, Laurie Callis and Charlotte Robson. We were just delighted to speak to Alex Turse there all about the off-field matters with Newcastle and what is going on with the Trust and obviously how Newcastle are doing this season, because it's their team, their voice for the whole hour on Love Sport Radio. And we were, of course, catching up on...
Except when it's your voice.
Except when it's my voice. Yeah, well, it's still your voice collectively. Cheers, Laurie. You know, this is the Newcastle Fan Show. Yeah,
there's more of us than him.
We could be a whole rechange on this show. Sean's off, Charlotte's off, and Laurie. So yeah, welcome back, Aaron and Jim to stay. We are now talking a little bit still about the Trust. Sean, obviously, when we last saw you, it was that day you were finding out whether you was being re-elected back on the board. You won it. No one else took place. Congratulations, my man. No, delighted to, for you. Congratulations. I know how much it meant to you, so genuinely I'm really pleased about that. I want to ask you what's happened since then. How do you feel about that news and obviously the latest developments on Strawberry Place?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say thank you to every candidate that put themselves forward to become a board member on NUST. There were some great candidates there, and I think really they were all winners in any case by putting themselves forward. I was very surprised to be voted back in, but thank you to everyone that did take part and vote for all the candidates as well. I really, really didn't expect that I would have been voted back on, to tell the truth, because, like I say, there were really strong candidates. But very, very grateful and thankful and humbled to be back in place. It was all good. So we had a massive meeting on Friday. It was back up to Newcastle for the plan and development meeting with Newcastle City Council. It was a 7-3 vote in favour of the development at Strawberry Place. Quite heartbreaking, to tell the truth. Me and Greg from NUST were along, and Greg actually spoke. He gave a great speech. He actually used the quotes from Arsene Wenger.
Thank you.
Within his speech, about what Arsene had said about Newcastle.
Charlotte's looking at me because she didn't listen to that show
she
either.
She didn't listen to that one either.
We're all team players here. We're all team players. Continue, Sean. Me and you listen. Don't worry.
So, Greg was true to his word when sort of you had said about what Arsene had said about sort of Newcastle and stuff. And he did use that in his speech. It seemed unfortunate because it was very much like the council had already made up their minds that they were going to approve it, and that's pretty much how it went. So Mike Ashley was then able to sell Strawberry Land for £9 million. It's a devastating blow to the city, to Newcastle United Football Club. And everyone involved. So,
well, just quickly, Sean, what happens now then? What happens next?
Well, next, there was an option where we could appeal against the decision, but it would go to the High Court, and it would be with the Queen's Court Council, and an incredibly expensive process. Because it's already been approved, having the decision changed or overturned would be highly unlikely. So it would be a case of probably cost somewhere in the region of £90,000 to £100,000 to get the Queen's Council involved. And it's just if we thought we had a strong chance to oppose it, then yeah, we would go for it. But unfortunately, we've been advised that it would be highly unlikely. So it's a case of the Trust has got many many great things to concentrate on going forward to build a better Newcastle United for the fans and supporters. So we thought, well, what's the point in wasting a lot of time and money and energy on a dying or lost cause, in a sense? So, yeah, we're going to concentrate on everything that's positive and upbeat.
Well, positive and upbeat. Someone else we've had on the show, Kieran Maguire, he posted today that Newcastle are in the top 10 for net spend in the Premier League era with £272.8 million from 1992 to 2018. Obviously, the vast majority of that money before Mike Ashley took over. What did you make, Laurie? We were talking about it before, obviously, that Kieran Maguire tweet there. Me and you saying it doesn't feel like it's that much. It seems a lot when you see the headline, but really and truly, net spend, if you do that 1992 onwards, what's 26 years or something? It's not really much per year, is it?
No, I thought you were going to ask me actually about another Kieran there, because he's been getting involved on the WhatsApp.
Our colleague
Kieran Critchard. I think he's an Everton fan. but as Alex said before, Newcastle's
unbelievably, that is correct,
club.
Because he's from London. So yeah. I think his cricket team's Durham, which is just round the corner from him as well. But please continue, Laurie.
Yeah, and Sale Sharks, which who knows where that is. I think... The thing about that is, you're right. Mike, who's an Arsenal fan, was saying, well, look, Arsenal's is only 400 odd million and Newcastle's is 278, whatever it is. And what I was saying is, this is a survey from the start of the Premier League era. So you have to think that at the start of the Premier League era, fees for players weren't that much. You know, like our world record fee for Alan Shearer compared to now is like ridiculously low. And by the time that fees were really starting to increase, where it was quite regular that teams were paying 30, 40 million for players, Newcastle weren't doing that. So, and that's from about round when Mike Ashley would have started owning the club. And so I imagine that we would have been relatively level pegging before that. And we might have been halfway or three quarters of the way to that total already by that point. And we've just kind of been catching up. Look, we didn't pay 20 million for a player till this year, and then we splashed out 40 million for some reason on Joe Linton. But
it's not on average since Mike Ashley's been in charge. We're only on net spend, only about £700,000, isn't it?
Exactly.
Per season.
So, well, look, 272 million in 26 years is just over average 10 million a year. When you say that as a club, it's
a stupid statistic, really, because what are you meant to learn?
Don't say that. Kieran's come on the show.
He has, but I just don't see what you're meant to learn from going back to 1992. And you should be comparing not like-minded clubs, but clubs with a similar potential. I think Tottenham's always a good example when you look at their turnover, what it went from before Mike Ashley and what it is now compared to ours. We were relatively level pegging, and now they're stratospheric compared to what our earnings are. I just think it's not a very meaningful stat.
Well, you said the stat that you would actually like to see is the one how much they've spent since Ashley, net spend, weren't you? Since he took over, because this is from 1992.
Was it?
£700,000 a year.
From the 10 million, obviously, since the 1992. Crazy stats there. When people tweet like this, was he just trying to raise a discussion, or is he saying that Newcastle aren't doing enough, or they've overspent, Charlotte? What did you gauge from it?
I feel like sometimes these tweets are like, why are you complaining? Look at this. It's right, like, okay. Well, you know, because there is so much fan dissatisfaction with the way that the club is being run at the moment, and I don't think that's a secret. But I feel like when there's tweets like this, when it's like Richard Keys, like, you know, criticising Rafa last season, or you know, I don't know, like pundits coming out in favour of Steve Bruce early on in the season before, you know, we had any kind of run of success, I feel like it's just like shut up, look, it's not that bad. But actually, if you break it down into the more meaningful stats, it isn't good. Those are that net spend has come from before, you know, where are we? I guess 2000. When did you take over? 2007? I don't know. I can't work it out anymore.
2007.
Yeah. So, you know, that's from up till then, and then it's, you know, the graph just plummets from then. So I think it's trying to sort of, I think for wider fans who would look at that and be like, well, that's weird. You know, Newcastle fans are always so upset with their club. It's like, well, it's quite a sort of cloudy stat, and I think it's designed to sort of skew people's opinions of fan dissatisfaction.
Well, not when we've got a team like us to crack it and say actually isn't that much, especially if we do split it between the remaining years. Well, there is no game on the weekend, so no opposition view, but we're doing better than that because next up it is time for the Newcastle Players Quiz.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Sean Wade, Laurie Callis and Charlotte Robson. Well, tonight, what a show it has been. We've talked about the Bournemouth game on the weekend. 3 points for Newcastle, yet again, scoring goals in the game from the defenders. And we spoke, and what a delight it was to speak to Alex Hurst, speaking about the trust, speaking about Strawberry Place. Well, it is in a national break. Real football is not here on the weekend. Who cares about the international? Because there is no club football this weekend. And when you're on a run like Newcastle, you don't want that international break to come. We're doing something better, though.
I think it's important to talk about England, to tell the truth.
We are doing something better. And if you could tell, that is nerves from Sean Wade, because it is time for the Newcastle United Players Quiz. That's right. Fingers on the buzzers. I have in front of me 9 players that have played for Newcastle and represented their countries. I will be providing you with clues and it's up to you to get them. We are not doing this first to answer. I'm giving you a player each. We will go round. Okay, I will start.
If someone gets it wrong, are we allowed to steal?
So why are we getting fingers on buzzers?
Why can't we be a team?
Right. Listen. There's no teamwork here. I may consider a pass over, Laurie. I will see. I will see how the scoring is going. And as you're so nervous, we will start with you, Sean.
I thought we would.
Player number one. Clues are 2 caps for France, 2010 to 2011. A winger. 9 goals in 118 appearances for Newcastle from 2004 to 2009.
Well, it's not Robert, is it?
Obviously, the players all play for their country. The international break, that is the theme. Sean, whoa. No Google, no phones allowed. Yeah. And let me just remind everyone at home, if you're just tuning in,
I'm going Long Robert.
That is incorrect.
I think I know that.
And just before we let Laurie Fing, Sean, no presser, you have been just re-elected to the Newcastle Trust, which is probably key that you get these.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
I have an idea, but winger's thrown me off a little bit because I'm not sure I would 100% say winger. But I have an idea. Is it Charles Nzogbia?
That is correct.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we are moving on. Charlotte.
My friend knew him.
You are up next.
Oh, okay.
73 caps for England.
You said it wasn't, there weren't going to be England ones.
1 goal. Played for England 1996 to 2007. 7 appearances for Newcastle. And that came in the season 2010 to 2011.
Oh God, I can't even think. All of my not cheating notes, not cheating early research is international because I was told no England. 7 appearances for Newcastle.
7 appearances for Newcastle, 2010 to 2011. 73 caps for England. That was between 1996 to 2007.
Scored 1 goal for England.
Hmm. Only one.
What position?
Yeah.
Defender.
I think I know it.
You do it then.
No, it's not my question.
It's teamwork.
Right, have a guess.
I can't. I'm thrown by this.
Laurie.
I knew that.
Is he not known as a Newcastle player?
Yeah, he can't
be. 7 appearances for Newcastle, and if he's played 73 times for his country, I don't think he's known as a Newcastle player.
Am I allowed to guess then?
Go.
Yeah.
Is it Sol Campbell?
It is.
Oh my God.
Laurie, you...
He used to come into the...
Sol Campbell's goal not get disallowed?
What? He scored for England. Don't say that because that threw you, Sean.
Like, leave it at.
You ain't that good as an actor.
You
was brilliant in Adam's Family, but we're not having that from you, mate.
Charlie, can I just say, am I getting these points or not?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I don't think no one else is, mate. So I won't worry about it if I'm honest.
I never would have got that. He used to come into the hotel I worked in. He's nice.
Okay. Laurie.
Yes, Charlie.
26 apps. For the Republic of Ireland. Oh. 1 goal, 2001 to 2006. Defender. Played 120 times for Newcastle between 2001 and 2005.
I've got 2 options for defenders because I don't know if they're Irish or Northern Irish or what. So Shall I say which ones I've got?
I think I know one of the options you're going to say.
So one of the options I've got is Aaron Hughes, but I have a feeling that he's Northern Irish. I'm not sure.
So
I'm
going to
go for
be...
Andy O'Brien.
And that is correct.
Yes. Oh, there's an applause outside the studio. Yeah. That's nice.
That's because Mike's been feeding a lot of the answers.
Oh, no, I can't.
No, he's got a rod on his arm, look.
Full disclosure, I'm a control freak and I hate this kind of thing. But that's fine, I'm fine. I'm fine, by the way.
She's fine.
Charlotte. She's fine. Sean, excuse me. Sean, it is back to you.
No, I think Charlotte could.
No, it's back to you.
She was prepared there.
62 caps for Finland.
Oh,
8 goals between 1999 and 2010. A forward, again, only 6 appearances for Newcastle in 2011.
This is a mean quiz.
Finland. Who have we had that's been Finnish?
2011.
Oh, 7 appearances. These are so cruel.
The only Finnish I know is Teemu Pukki.
No, come on, you know this one. I'm gonna have to push you.
Come on. Can I phone a friend?
62 caps for Finland, 8 goals Alex forward, 6 appearances for Newcastle. Laurie passing it over. Do you know?
Well, Sean hasn't guessed yet.
No, I don't know.
I can't think. The only Scandinavian that I can think of that played for us is John Dahl Thomason, but he's Danish.
So I wasn't. Yeah,
the answer is Shefty Coochie.
Oh, is he Finnish?
Yeah.
Apparently. Well,
he did that celebration.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Well, this is going swimmingly. Charlotte, it is back to you.
This.
39 appearances for Argentina. 1 goal between 2003 and 2014. Centre-back, 248 appearances for Newcastle. 6 goals.
What country is it?
Argentina. Is it Colaccini?
It is.
Yes! Oh, my God!
Well done, Charlotte. Sean, at the minute, you're last.
Doesn't surprise us. I hate this.
Laurie.
How long's this music last been? Yeah.
Anna?
Isn't it a brilliant bed? 41 caps for Belgium. 5 goals between 1987 and 1997. Defender. 96 appearances for Newcastle between 94 and 99.
So I was born in 96.
Were you? You're a baby.
Can you repeat the question?
41 caps for Belgium, 5 goals, 87 to 97. Defender, 96 appearances for Newcastle between 1994 and 1999.
That's not really fair, because I wasn't born.
Give it a guess.
Oh, I was 2, wasn't I?
Yeah.
You was watching it then.
Or 3, maybe.
Match of the day.
Does anyone else know?
Belgium.
I don't think I know.
Sean?
This is going to annoy me.
Do you need a passover point here, Sean?
I'm going to think Philippe Albert.
That is correct. Unbelievable. Sean is back in again.
And
unbelievable. Sean, it is your go. You have a chance to. Laurie's on to. Yeah, Sean, you could tie it up here, Sean.
Confident.
What an unbelievable.
I think I'm on 3, actually, Charlie, but I got the first 3 in a row.
All right, mate. It's not a competition.
It literally is.
That was the joke. Right, clue. 6. Yeah. You just can't make it up. 6 appearances for the Netherlands. 2 goals, Sean, between 2010 and 2013. 22 appearances for Newcastle. 1 goal, and that came between 2014 to 2017. Fairly recent, Sean.
2014, 2017. Dutch.
And when was it?
Recent. 6 appearances for Holland. 2 goals for 2010-2013. 22 appearances for Newcastle. 1 goal, which came between 2014 and 2017.
I just can't think of his name.
Sean, I'm going to have to push you. You don't want to fire a guess. It worked for you last time.
Insomnia, that's all. I don't know.
Inzogbia, did you say?
Yeah, he didn't even play for... he wasn't even Dutch, was he?
Had Inzogbia and he was French.
Sorry.
Right, go for it, Laurie.
Is it Vernon Anita?
Or
is
it no.
Not? Oh, sorry.
Wow, I really thought you got that. Charlotte,
I thought he's Dutch, isn't he?
He's Googling this.
Charlotte, do you know?
No, I thought it was going to be him. Belgium Dutch.
He is, but it wasn't him.
He's got way more caps than that.
Yeah.
That's why I thought Anita, because I was just thinking.
Right, okay. Shares their surname. It's the same play. I'm going to give you an extra clue. Shares their surname with a player that played for Man City. Not anymore.
That's
also from Holland.
Oh, I was so confident.
Van somebody.
De Jong.
That is correct.
Well done.
Okay.
I'm very
Charlotte, we are back to you. I'm feeling confident with this one, Charlotte.
Was it Luke or CM?
CM.
One of us should be.
9 caps for France. one goal between 1999 and 2001. Again, played on the wing, 129 appearances for Newcastle, 22 goals, signed from PSG.
What country?
France.
Sorry, PSG. I didn't
hear. His name has already been mentioned in the studio tonight.
Has it?
Mm. I'm glad, Charlotte, even when you're in it, you still don't listen. So either way, that's brilliant. Wait, what an addition you have been.
Oh, that's so cruel.
When did he play for Newcastle?
I don't think I've got that.
It doesn't say on here. Right. Have a guess. You said it tonight. Come on, everyone knows him. He was
David
a winger.
David Ginola.
No.
No. I've said it tonight.
Yeah, and that's why I gave you this one. Oh, going to have to wrap this up with a guess.
I was going to say Ben Arthur, but it's not him.
No, it's Laurent Robert.
Laurent Robert.
Laurent Robert. That is the end.
I have him on my list.
Do I not have one more?
We do, but we have 8 seconds
on,
this music.
I don't care about the music.
Yeah, do it again. All right. 36 caps for Ivory Coast. 9 goals, 2005 to still present day. Striker. 3 appearances for Newcastle, Laurie, in your time, 2016.
Because Rafa never played him. Seydou Doumbia.
There you go. Laurie is the king.
That's good.
This is the Newcastle
the
Players Quiz.
Congrats.
Thanks, guys.
I told you.
Hey?
I tell you, I'd be terrible at that. I've got Laurent Robert on my list as well.
And that's why I gave you it. Charlotte, can you see how I tried to help you? You've got it on the list. I'm just saying. I said, say anyone. Shout a name. It was in front of you.
I thought we'd...
I can't do any more than that, Charlotte.
No, I'm, it's tough being this stupid, but...
No, don't be silly. Don't be silly. Sean, you had a flying comeback there, Sean. Pleased with that?
One. Yeah,
yeah, but it was a great long shot, and you got it.
I was just shouting out anything to tell the truth.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the Newcastle Players Quiz has got much legs.
No.
Has it?
No, that was disastrous.
I tell you what, it has, though. It's back next week because it's still the international break.
Okay,
get in.
Oh, I'm not on next week. So
you are. I've looked at the rota. We're changing it. Guess what? It's you three again. Laurie.
No. I think I'm actually not here next week, so I'll have to...
Well, I think Ketch will be good at that, won't he? I think Ketch will
It'd be too better. Good.
Yeah, Ketch will get everything.
Yeah.
Actually, Aaron will be good as well. He's like sneaky
good.
No,
but then Ketch will say that he knows him and it will just say like, yeah, just, no, we can't do it. No.
Not a FIFA launch.
Yeah. Well, so look, we have come to the end and I thought that was going to go better than it did go.
Yeah. Well,
it's a shame.
Well, yeah.
I'm not embarrassed.
I'm
pretty pleased with how it went for me.
Well, this has been the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with Sean Wade, Laurie Callis and Charlotte Robson. We were talking everything from the Bournemouth game to the Players Quiz, which they all loved. That was a success, just like the run of form Newcastle are on at the minute. But you can tune in to all the Newcastle Fan Shows every Wednesday, 7 to 8, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.